following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. It is Thursday, August the 3rd, and we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, let us know in the comment section below what state you're joining us from, or if you're from outside of the United States, let us know where you guys are joining us from. We would love to hear from you. Let us know that you're new in the comment section so that we can get familiar with you. We have many familiar faces that come on every week, and you guys are like family to us. So tonight, I want to talk about seven major events that we need to be paying attention to for the next 13 months. Now, why did I say 13 months? Because unlike the Gregorian calendar or the calendar that we use here in America or the West, the Jews, and I believe God's calendar is the Hebrew calendar. On the Hebrew calendar, the new year begins September 15th to the 17th during Rosh Hashanah. This is one of the seven major feasts of Israel. So the new year officially begins, in my opinion, again, September, the middle of September, when Rosh Hashanah begins, September 15th to the 17th. That's why I said 13 months. And the reason why I say 13 months is because I'm adding August this month, next month, total all the way to next year of September is 13 months. I want to get right into this, and I want to explain, I want to give you the, I'm going to give you the bad news first, okay? And then we're going to leave you with some good news. So the bad news is there's a lot of things that we really need to be paying attention to, again, for the next 13 months. But I'm not going to leave you hanging there, because I'm going to tell you how we prepare as the body of Christ and as believers in our household on how to process this and how to prepare accordingly for the next 13 months. So number one, so what are these events? All right. The first one that I want to talk about is this United Nations Summit of the Future. This will no doubt set the stage for a new global order in 2024. Now, of course, we have brought this up in previous podcasts at least two times, I know. And according to different sources, this is one we've sourced here before, according to Federalist.com, the United Nations is planning to seize global emergency powers with the support of Biden's administration. So I'm going to kind of give you the key points of this. I don't want to beat a dead horse too much, because, again, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. But here it is right in front of you. In September of 2024, less than 2 months before the next United States presidential election, the UN will host a landmark summit of the future, where its member nations will adopt a pact for the future. According to the report, the agreement will solidify numerous policy reforms offered by the UN over the past 2 years as part of its sweeping, quote, our common agenda platform. Many of the details of this emergency platform have already been laid out in a March 2023 policy paper titled Strengthening the International Response to Complex Global Shocks, an Emergency Platform. In the details of this report, the General Assembly provided the Secretary General and the UN system with a standing authority to convene and operationalize automatically an emergency platform in the event of a future complex global shock of sufficient scale, severity, and reach. Again, as we pointed out in previous podcasts, once this emergency platform is implemented or triggered, the emergency platform would give the United Nations the ability to, quote, actively promote and drive an international response that places the principles of equity and solidarity at the center of its work. And this will include all global players involved. This emergency platform will also give the United Nations the power to ensure that all participating actors make commitments that can contribute meaningfully to the response, and that they are held to account for delivery on these commitments. In the details of this, as we've pointed out again previously, the UN would be given unprecedented authority over the public and private sectors of huge swaths of the world in the name of battling yet an unknown crisis. Now, all this is going to tie in when we get to other scenarios here. So again, first event or scenario, again, is this UN Global Emergency Power Summit that is going to be, again, put into place in September of 2024. Now, this next event is huge. There is prophetic anticipation building over the anticipated construction of the third temple in Jerusalem. And I'm going to show you a video. We're going to watch this. We've watched this in a previous podcast, but I want to kind of refresh your memory. And I want you to hear closely, and we'll point this out in the video when we watch this together. There is a timeline that they're saying we could see coincide with the building of the third temple. And again, according to Revelation chapter 11, and again, I want to point out to you in Revelation chapter 11, that John the Revelator saw an angel. This is in the future. This is in the tribulation. This is going on right about mid-tribulation. The two witnesses will appear. But before that, you have this temple that will be constructed. And John gives us details of this. And he talks about this temple will be measured. There will be worship being conducted there. And the outer court will be left outside of the temple that will not be measured because it will be given over to the Gentiles to be trodden upon for 42 months. And then power will be given to the two witnesses. So there will be an actual physical third temple that will be constructed. But watch this. There is prophetic anticipation building around this and centered around this, that we could actually see this be constructed by next year in 2024.
Nine Jewish priests, plot of land on the Mount of Olives, and five red heifers. All these elements are in place for what some Jews and Gentiles believe is the key to building the third Jewish temple. Some also believe it indicates the coming of the Messiah. Chris Mitchell reports from Jerusalem.
The five red heifers are now in a secure, undisclosed location in Israel. Plans include moving them sometime soon to a visitor center in Shiloh, where the tabernacle of the Lord once stood for nearly 400 years. The Book of Numbers explains that ashes of the red heifer are used to purify priests for their service in the temple.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. Its offal shall be burned, for the water of purification, it is for purifying from sin."
These red heifers are now between 1.5 to 2 years old. To replicate the ceremony mentioned in the Bible, they need to be at least 3 years old. And within that time span, they cannot have a blemish or anything that would disqualify them for the ceremony, even one white or black hair. According to those working on the project, the ceremony of the red heifer needs to be performed on the Mount of Olives and in a place that would have looked directly into where the temple stood. The land I'm standing on, bought 12 years ago, fits both of those standards.
It had to be exactly at the front of place that the priest that made this ceremony can see the holy of the holy place.
Rabbi Yitzhak Mamo heads Yuvnei Jerusalem, dedicated to the goal of rebuilding the third temple. He owns the land here on the Mount of Olives.
And we hope that in a year and a half from today, we...
Okay, you got to listen to this carefully. He says, we hope from a year and a half from today. This was broadcasted this year. So a year and a half from today, this would push us into next year. This would push us into probably one of the feasts of Israel of next year. So this is very interesting. Listen to this.
We can make here in this area the ceremony of the red heifer that actually will be the first step to the temple.
Mamo says the ceremony needs priests who have not been defiled by touching anything dead.
The Temple Institute actually have 9 pure priests. They didn't born in a hospital, okay? They born at home. Mm-hmm. Because they are priests, so anyway, they don't go to any cemetery. And they are pure. Mm-hmm. And they are waiting. So we have the priest, we have the red heifer, We have the land and we have everything ready. We just need to wait another 1.5 years.
Did you hear that? We have the priest. We have the ceremony rituals all set in place. We have the heifers in place. We just have to wait another 1.5 years. Why? Because they have to wait to see if these heifers are going to qualify. This is incredible, guys. Literally, we could see this being fulfilled next year in 2024.
Byron Stinson of B'nai Israel, a group dedicated to building up biblical Israel, works with Rabbi Mamo and helped find the red heifers in the U.S. He says these would be the first in 2,000 years and that the process toward a third Jewish temple began when the Jewish people started their return to the Promised Land from the four corners of the world, culminating with Israel becoming a nation.
And then in 1948, in one day, they were reborn as a nation, and nobody said that could happen. And then you move forward, and Israel continues to be this strong nation, and all of these prophecies start fulfilling. There's so many now. It's just incredible, the evidence of what God is doing with Jerusalem as the center of that. And the temple is the center of Jerusalem. And so how can it happen and how will it happen? I don't think anyone really knows for sure.
Stinson believes the temple is meant to be a house of prayer for all nations.
In the Bible, it says when Solomon built the first temple, he said, this is a house of worship for all nations. That's what the temple is. And I think a lot of people think it's just a Jewish temple, but that's not true. It's for all the nations of the earth.
Now, to me, that's prophetic as well, because again, when you read Thessalonians, the Antichrist sets up his headquarters in the temple. And remember, the Jews, most of the Jews in Israel are not messianic. You got to remember this, guys. Most of the Jews in Israel are not messianic. So I believe there's going to be a false Mashiach, a false Messiah that will appear in Jerusalem, in Israel. He will declare himself as the Messiah. The Bible says the Antichrist will appear and to set his headquarters up in this temple. This very temple has to be constructed for him to set up his headquarters in the temple. So you've got all these people that are going to believe that this individual is the Messiah and they're going to worship him. And notice he said that it won't just be the Jews that will be worshiping, it will be the Muslims as well. It'll be all nations. This is this one world religion. So on one hand, we're excited that the Messiah is about to return because we're seeing the prophecy of all these prophecies coming together, correlating, culminating together. But at the same time, on the other hand, we can't overlook the fact that there's coming an Antichrist. There's coming a false treaty, Daniel 9:27. There will be a treaty between Israel and the nations, and it will last for 42 months, and then it will be broken. And then that's when the Antichrist reveals his true identity. He invades Jerusalem, sets up his headquarters, and that's where his final empire rises out of.
Author Joel Rosenberg wrote about the third temple in his novel, The Copper Scroll, and tells CBN News Jews have different views on the subject.
Jews are divided, actually, between does the Messiah himself have to come and build the temple, or do you build the temple and the Messiah comes? So among those Jews, Israelis who care, that's actually they're divided into two different camps. I think most Israelis don't think about it, don't care, and actually would get a little worried of talk of a third temple because we already have enough trouble.
Rosenberg also sees various points of view throughout the Christian community.
Those who think about it and those who don't. Most Christians, I think, don't think about the third temple. But those who do believe that it will be built.
Well, the ones that don't are the ones that are not taught on it. They're not ever taught on eschatology, end times, the study of prophecy. Or number two, they're replacement theologists that doesn't see any significance with it because they have gone and they've been taught to replace everywhere there's a reference to Israel, they've replaced it with the church. So these are the people that actually believe the third temple is going to be us. We are the third temple. And it's just, it's, It's improper interpretation of scripture. So that's if you want to know why that is, that's why.
Built before Jesus returns for the second coming, not necessarily before the rapture, but definitely before the second coming, and that the Antichrist will take over that third temple during the tribulation and try to rule the world from there. Could it happen in our lifetime? That to me is intriguing. I think we don't know, but there are some Jews who are really making, as you're reporting on, preparations to get ready for that moment, and that's something to watch closely.
Stinson says they plan to invite everyone to the Red Heifer ceremony that may take place in Passover 2024.
Everything.
There it is. Passover 2024.
Everything is in place now with the Red Heifers. As long as they stay pure, one of them stays pure, then we have everything in place, including the priest.
Mamo says, according to the Jewish sage Maimonides, there were 9 red heifers from Moses to the second temple.
It's not his way to write, but suddenly he said, the tent will make the Messiah. We know that the Messiah will make the tent. Maybe we have the privilege to be one of these people that helped the Messiah to do it.
So, wow, guys, that's huge. So, again, you have this UN Global Summit collaboration 2024. You have the possible anticipation of the building of the third temple in 2024. This is huge. This is prophetic. Then I want to move on to the number three. A number three thing, an event to watch out for, is signs in the sun, moon, and stars, Matthew 24, Luke 21. Also, Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, there will be great and fearful sights from heaven. Now, it's interesting, in this month, the month of August, there's going to be 2 super moons this month, including a blue moon. The end of the month, or the end of this month, August, will feature the largest and brightest super moon of 2023. Now, why is that important? Because there is, and I want to say this, there is some speculation that many times when you see these super moons and the moon is this close to the earth that it can cause some gravitational disturbances, which can provoke earthquakes. So I'm not saying that we're going to see mega quakes and earthquakes, but it will be interesting to see in the month of August, this month, what will transpire, because we have these signs in the heavens. But then the big one is coming. And when I say the big one, I'm talking about the big solar eclipse that we have been anticipating since 2017. Because remember, in 2017, we experienced the Great American Eclipse, and that this would coincide with the Great American Eclipse of 2024. So let me say it again. 2017, many of you saw this. We experienced it. We saw the great eclipse, the American eclipse of 2017. Let's do a little visual recap of this. I'm going to take you back to 2017.
Millions of Americans are sharing stories and pictures this morning about the historic eclipse. Did you see it? Photos taken across the country captured the moments yesterday when the moon passed right in front of the sun. Large crowds gathered coast to coast along the 70-mile-wide path of totality. Jamie Ukas is in the town of Madras, Oregon, where many visitors we're still trying to get home. Jamie, I saw you last night. You had a great view. Good morning.
I did. I had an excellent view, Gail. It was so much fun. And as you can see,
from Madras, Oregon.
That's it. I see
yeah,
it.
You can see that. Yeah.
All the way to Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm speechless. I'm literally speechless.
Millions of Americans looked up as darkness descended in the middle of the day.
This is something that I will be dreaming about and thinking about for the rest of my life.
Crowds erupted in Carbondale, Illinois, where the darkness lasted longer than nearly anywhere else in the country.
What a great timing. Look at that.
I'm so glad we got to
Satellite imagery showed the moon's shadow sweeping across the country in roughly 90 minutes.
Can you see the shadow? The elliptical shadow projected on the cloud cover below us.
Totality.
The view looked just as stunning from the air.
I'm trying to process what I just saw because it was such a spectacular event.
Daylight's full return revealed miles of growing traffic intersecting the eclipse's path.
When do you hope to get home?
It's an adventure.
Gridlock extended to this airport in Oregon, where more than 400 planes were reportedly waiting to take off. But for many...
Wow. Oh, that was so cool.
Okay. The holdup did not overshadow nature's rare spectacle in the sky.
Actually getting to see one in person was phenomenal.
So this is nothing. The traffic's nothing.
If that's the price you got to pay. Okay. That's good.
Now, what's interesting to me is all these people are cheering and they're emotional and they're crying because of the spectacle of this and seeing this, and they're all clapping and cheering. But most people don't understand, guys, solar eclipses of this magnitude are not a good sign. Even rabbinical sources teach that a solar eclipse seen over Gentile nations is an omen and many times is a harbinger for disasters and even war. So then we fast forward 7 years later. Gee, that's an interesting number, number seven. Anyway, you fast forward 7 years later, and we have another solar eclipse that's unprecedented that's going to form an X across America. Here's a little bit more on the trajectory of that.
We made you a map showing you state by state, what's your chance of getting a cloud? The grayer states are going to be grayer. They have a better chance of being either overcast or even partly cloudy to the point where that one cloud sits in front of the moon. Remember how, I believe it was in Illinois when we had that 2017 solar eclipse, and a cloud came right over just in time for the eclipse to take place. And a lot of the national media was there because it was said that was going to be the best location. That's where you should go. So many people were there. Cloud got in the way. If you were 20 miles outside, you saw it. That cloud was off in the distance, but it was not right at the sun. But when you look at this path, the black line shows you the total eclipse. The red line shows you the maximum totality where there could be 4 minutes. You want to be as close to the center or near that red line as possible. But when you look at this map, Arkansas and Oklahoma, we've got a good 50-50 shot. That's pretty decent. Texas may be even better. But throughout the whole line, I'd say Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas would be your best place to see the solar eclipse. That's good news for us when you take a look at cloud data. Hey.
All right, so it's coming. This is coming again on April 8th of 2024. Did you know that the first solar eclipse in 2017, the one that made the first line, it was the first solar eclipse since 1918 that was able to be seen all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast. Consequently, in 1918, there was two major events that took place. One was the end of the First World War, and there was a transition of empires there. And then there was the beginning of the 1918 Spanish flu is when it began. Interesting that it would be a pandemic. It would be, now how interesting is that, that a pandemic would break out in 1918? It was during the same time frame as this first solar eclipse that came through that we all saw. It was the Great American Eclipse, and it was 3 years prior to another pandemic that would be global in America and the world. And again, as we've pointed out, and many others have pointed out, this next trajectory of this one on April 8th, 2024, together they form an X across America. And again, as others have pointed out, and we have pointed out, the X, when you look at this map, it is literally, the X is right over the New Madrid fault zone of America. And I want to give you a little bit deeper, understanding of this as well, and show you some even more interesting things about the precise location of this X that will be made from these two trajectories of these eclipses. When you home in and zoom in on this X, it literally puts you across Cedar Lake in Jackson County, just south of Carbondale. This is the precise geographic location of a place called Little Egypt. What's interesting about this place is that in the mid-19th century, there was a famine in northern Illinois. A famine, hello, you got famine, pestilence, plagues. Thankfully, there was a bountiful harvest in the south. So the people in the north said that they felt themselves like the children of Jacob, who in a time of famine were forced to go down to Egypt to seek food for their families. And the Carbondale region here, was a place of refuge for those in Illinois, and it to that day became known as Little Egypt. Again, this is all based out of the book of Genesis. This is where they're talking about this. Could it be possible that this solar eclipse is a warning to America? The fact that it's the X forms over the New Madrid fault line, which experts have warned is a sleeping giant, that it's not a matter of if, but when this thing blows again, and it will change the entire region geographically of the midsection of America. Many prophetic teachers and preachers have warned that this could be a form of judgment if we have an administration that tries to attempt to divide the nation of Israel in the future. Then you have even more details of this, and it happens to be over a place where they experienced famine in the 19th century. And what's happening right now, guys, with the food supply and with the weather and with everything that's going on, and even the United Nations is preparing for some type of global disaster. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Then I want to move on to the number four. The number four thing that I'm concerned with, that we need to be paying attention to, is the intensity or the increase of wars and rumors of wars. Now, there is so much rhetoric, war rhetoric, saber rattling, rumors of wars, everything from China to Russia to the Ukraine conflict with Ukraine and Russia. You have North Korea, you have Iran, you have Israel that's threatening to be in a wide-scale war with Hezbollah and Hamas and all those regions over there. You've got reports of Chinese malware that could disrupt American military operations. Let me show you this. According to this report, this is from DNYUZ, the Biden administration is hunting for malicious computer code. It believes China has hidden deep inside the networks controlling, this is not a bit disturbing, power grids, communication systems, and water supplies that feed military bases in the United States and around the world. Let me say that again, just in case you weren't paying attention. The Biden administration is actively hunting. They haven't found it. They're looking, they're searching for malicious computer codes, malware, that it believes that China has placed deep inside networks controlling power grids, communication systems, and water supplies that not only feed military bases in the United States, but around the world.
China may have planted malicious software in key utility systems supplying U.S. military bases around the world, the possibility likely to increase recent tensions between Washington and Beijing. ABC White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks is joining us now in Washington with the latest. Mary Alice, good morning.
Well, good morning. The administration is clearly on high alert when it comes to these cyber threats, and officials have been urging local public utilities that serve military bases to step up their defenses.
This morning, a new report from the New York Times saying the federal government is urgently trying to find cyber malware that could be catastrophic for U.S. infrastructure and military readiness. A National Security Council official telling ABC News in a statement, the Biden administration is working relentlessly to defend the United States from any disruptions to our critical infrastructure, including by coordinating interagency efforts to protect water systems, pipelines, rail and aviation systems, among others. In May, the Biden administration issued a bulletin acknowledging that they have seen an increase in Chinese state-sponsored cyber activity, writing that this activity affects networks across U.S. critical infrastructure sectors and urging public utility partners to step up their cyber defenses.
We're going to continue to evaluate the cyberspace environment.
Earlier this month, Microsoft accusing Chinese hackers of that serious breach into email accounts within at least two government agencies. That hack highlighting the need for increased vigilance and stronger defenses within private organizations.
So we have that going on. Then you have an Air Force general that predicts that we will be in war. The West will be at war with China in 2025. Some experts have even said it could be by next year. Now I want to move you over here and let's talk about Russia and Ukraine.
Tensions are escalating between Russia and Ukraine after a series of drone attacks in Moscow over the weekend. While not taking responsibility, Ukraine's president saying the war is now, quote, returning to Russia.
So you got this increasing, again, wars and rumors of wars. Who knows what this is going to escalate to? How? What is this going to grow to? What are we going to see? What are we going to witness? What are we going to experience with this? Again, time will tell, but we need to be prepared. Then I want to move to the next one. So real quick, number one, UN Summit Future of 2024, the construction of the Third Temple in Jerusalem 2024, major solar eclipse coming to in America to 2024. Wars and rumors of wars, no doubt, will continue to escalate. Then we have what I call economic upheaval. Don't know if you saw this, but there was a report that was just came out yesterday where Fitch just downgraded the U.S. credit rating.
Big news of the morning, though. Fitch, as you know, downgrading U.S. long-term credit to AA+ from AAA, follows their rating watch negative call back in May, and is the second downgrade ever by a major agency after S&P back in 2011. Joining us first this morning on CNBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, make no doubts about it. I believe the economy will continue to see upheaval. It will see disturbances. Don't know how bad that's going to get, but they're talking about global food chain disruptions again, talking about famine, talking about plagues, talking about pestilences. All these things are inevitable. And again, it only needs to take one little domino to fall and cause another domino effect. And that leads me to the next part, number six, and that's look for plagues and pestilences only to increase. That's going to happen. And look, this is nothing, you know, I'm not trying to be a prophet here. I never claim to be a prophet. I'm just going by the Bible, Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. Jesus said these things will be like birth pangs and they're only going to increase in intensity. And we need to be prepared for that. So I have no doubt about it that plagues and pestilences, I mean, just look at what we just reported on this, a couple days ago. We talked about, go watch our other podcast. We did a whole segment on these plagues that are happening. You got people with leprosy. People are being diagnosed with leprosy. You've got malaria showing up. You've got all there's crazy things happening right now. So these plagues and pestilences, no doubt about it, will only increase. And then, of course, last but not least, is look for the increase of earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanoes, not just because they're birth pains, guys, but just from a scientific angle of this, we're in a climate cycle right now where we have seen the warmest ocean temperatures on record. We're seeing these record-breaking temperatures of heat and extreme heat. It doesn't take a meteorologist or some expert to figure out that when you have these fronts colliding, it's going to produce catastrophic storms and disasters. So these things we need to be ready for, we need to be prepared for. Now, here's where I want to close for the next 15 minutes. I want to talk about selective judgments, because this is what we need to be prepared for. There's too many things, guys, that are happening that are biblical, that are prophetic, that are harbingers, that are warnings, that are considered to be omens. There's just too many things going on. So this is why it's got my ears perked up, my spiritual. This is why it's got some red flags and sirens just blaring off on the inside of me, that I wanted to come out today on this program and warn us of this. Selective judgments. What are selective judgments? The word judgment from a Hebrew perspective, the Hebrew word for judgment, is an important Old Testament concept and is closely linked with the Lord, and it denotes the process whereby, listen to this, a verdict is reached or the verdict itself is bound up with the notions of justice. Now, in other words, when God sees fit that justice needs to be carried out, he allows selective judgments to come upon nations. For example, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Your Bible says that God looked upon the earth and saw that it was corrupt, that all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, who found grace in God's eyes, that the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In other words, judgment has been pronounced. You go to Genesis chapter 19, the days of Lot. The angels of the Lord were sent by God himself to tell Lot to prepare his household to get out of the city because judgment was already pronounced. The verdict had already been made. In fact, in Genesis 19, 12 and 13, it says, "Then the men said unto Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So notice here that the angels were sent on assignment from God to carry out judgment upon the cities of the plain. You go to Daniel chapter 4 in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that there was a decision by the decree of the watchers, those were angels, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he wills, and he sets over it the lowest of men. And as a result of this decree from heaven, judgment came upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven out of his kingdom. He went mad. He grew out his hair. He grew out his fingernails. He grew hair like a beast. He was driven out of his own kingdom because of judgment. You go to the book of Jonah, and the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah that Nineveh was a wicked city, and because of the wickedness of Nineveh that went up before the Lord, God sent his prophet Jonah to warn them that unless they repent, that judgment was at hand. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, listen, God is still bringing selective judgments. There's no way that we as a nation continue to do what we're doing and defy the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and continue, and God's just going to turn a blind eye. He's not going to turn a blind eye to the shedding of innocent blood. He's not going to turn an eye against the persecution of his prophets and those who are spreading the word of God. He's not going to turn a blind eye to those that are causing little ones to stumble and to sin. He's not going to turn a blind eye to abominations, the immorality, the wickedness, the lasciviousness, and all of the evil that's being carried out upon the land. My friend, selective judgments is coming, but I don't want to leave you there. I know that can sound frightening, but come on, I come by today, you listen to this preacher. I want to stir you in the way of remembrance today. Yes, judgment was appointed by God to the world in the days of Noah, but your Bible says that Noah heard of the judgment, the decree, and Noah had heard of the verdict that was already set in motion to the earth, that it would be destroyed of a great flood. But your Bible said that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And though the flood came, though the heavens opened, though the fountains of the deep broke up, the Bible says that God spared Noah and his family because they found grace in his eyes and they were found righteous in the earth. Oh, come on. In the time of the Lot, in the days of Lot, the two angels, before they carried out the judgment of God in the cities of the plains, the angels showed up at Lot's door because the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man who was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation, the wicked day in and day out, by the things in which he saw and heard. And he didn't go unnoticed from heaven. God remembered Lot. God remembered his bloodline. God sent Abraham in, and then God sent two angels in. And those angels told Lot, he said, get your family. Get not only get your bloodline, but get your in-laws. Get your son-in-laws. Get anybody in here that's in your family and get them out, because we can do nothing until they're safely out of the city. Oh, and your Bible says that there was five cities of the plains, but there was was one city that went untouched. It was a place called Zoar. I'm here to tell you, friends, that when God begins to pour out his selective judgments, you're going to see in one city it's light and the other city it's dark. It's raining. Come on, hailstones over here. There's damage over here. There's plagues over here. But David said, 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. I'm telling you, in a time of the Egyptian captivity, when God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, there was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. The cattle were dropping dead in Egypt, but they were thriving in Goshen. There was gnats and plagues and pestilences and blood in the water in Egypt, but come on, there was a healthy, thriving, producing crop in Goshen. In the time of the Babylonian captivity, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was right in the middle of Babylon. They were in the middle of it, but God spared them. God protected them. God put a hedge about them. Oh, he was there in the middle of the fiery furnace as the fourth man. He sent angels to shut up the mouths of the lions in the den with Daniel. Then you go to the book of Jonah, and even though the verdict was already made to bring judgment upon Nineveh, when the prophet showed up after he began to swallow his pride and he got spit up on the shore by a whale where he died and went to the very gates of hell, repented from a belly of a whale, he got back on track, got back to the island of Nineveh. He preached repentance to the city of Nineveh like God told him to. And the Bible says that from the king all the way down to the lowest of the citizens of the people there, they begin to repent in sackcloth and ashes because they wanted God to relent and bring a reprieve of judgment. And God in heaven heard their cries and he relented and he gave them a reprieve and he withheld the judgment of God upon the nation. Oh, in Ezekiel's day, there was a righteous group of people that were marked with protection while the wicked suffered at the hands of an invasion. When the judgment of God was about to strike the walls of Jericho, there was a woman by the name of Rahab who made a covenant with two men of the Lord. And when she made that covenant, she held out the red scarlet thread. When God saw the red scarlet thread, he said he saw it and he looked and knew that it was a covenant that they had. Your Bible says that when they marched around the walls of Jericho, that they came tumbling down. But guess whose family was spared? You got it. Rahab and her family. I'm trying to tell you today that all throughout history, God has had a way to warn those in covenant with him. This is why I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to worry about it, because those who are in covenant with him, the Holy Spirit's got a way of showing up and prompting us and speaking to us. He can show up in dreams. He can show up in visions. He can show up in visitations from angels. He can bring about divine encounters and divine circumstances according to his will and according to his word to protect those in covenant with him. Your Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 that there is a book of remembrance that is written and established by the Lord for those who fear and know him and those who listen. And the Bible says that he knows those who fear him, and he says that he will spare us as a man spares his own son, whom he discerns who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Look, I know some of y'all's been taught by some theology that God's going to make the heads roll of the church. He's going to purge the blood of the bride. But I'm telling you, I cannot accept such theology when I read scriptures and more scriptures where God makes a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. He protects those who are his and those that are not. The Bible says in Luke 21, verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Even all the way in the book of Isaiah, There's a portion of scripture in Isaiah 26, 20 through 21. It says, come my people and enter your chambers and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself as it were for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Notice that he says that his people will go into a place of hiding, the door will be shut, and indignation will be poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth for their wickedness, but those who are his people will be protected. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 9, verse 10, he tells us to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 through 8 through 9 that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, what I'm trying to tell you today, I understand there's a difference between the judgments of God and the wrath of God. But I'm telling you, when I study both Old and New Testaments, God has a habit of protecting and preserving those that are his. So I am not concerned whether or not he is able to protect and preserve myself and my family because we have a covenant with him. So this is the good news I bring to you. The good tidings I bring to you at the end of this message. The bad news is I believe we're about to see some major birth pangs and even be on the very precipice of entering into the tribulation mentioned in the book of Revelation. But the good news is God is in control. God is on the throne. God knows those that are in him. God knows that those who are his. And if we are in him and we are his, then he is able to preserve and to protect us. Come on, can I get a witness in here, somebody? Can I get an amen or an oh me, depending on what side of the camp you're on? And that leads me to the next point. If you're watching this program tonight, you're listening to this program, and you are away from God or you don't know God, my friend, you need to get in covenant with Jesus Christ so that you can be under the blood, under his protection, and your name could be in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we want to give you that opportunity right now. If you're watching, you're listening, please pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins today. I confess my sins before you today. I confess I have trespassed against you. I confess my iniquities today, my trespasses, my transgressions to you today. And I admit today, I confess today that I've been trying to do things in my own way. And you said there's a way that seems right unto man, but it's the way that leads to death. So today, I repent and I surrender my life to you today. You said in your word that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died and rose again on the third day, then I shall be saved. Today, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, that you are the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're coming back for a bride without spot nor wrinkle nor blemish nor any such thing. And Lord, I want to be right and I want to be ready and I don't want to be left behind. So I pray that you, Lord, would forgive me and wash me in the blood of Jesus today and put my name in that Lamb's Book of Life so that you can protect and preserve me through whatever this life brings me and the days ahead. And I give you glory, I give you praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Friends, if you believe that and you prayed that today and you meant that from your heart, the Bible says that you are saved and you are born again. I want to implore you today that you need to go get water baptized as soon as possible. Go get water baptized. Go get plugged into a Bible believing, doctrinally sound, spirit filled church. If that's not possible where you are, we welcome you to the family here at End Time Headlines. We will do our best, I promise you, to equip you, edify you, inform you, and encourage you on a week-to-week basis. We want you to be a part of our family here. If you just don't have that opportunity to be a part of a community of believers where you're at. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please download our free app today. It's available on Apple and Android. Go to your store, depending on your device. Get it today. hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go with every headline, every podcast, viewpoint segment, everything we put out there. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. And of course, as always, we would love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. Without you guys, without your financial support, your contributions, and your prayers, we would not be able to continue to do what we do on a week-to-week basis. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app down at the bottom where it says donate, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, and that's going to be 30655. And again, of course, guys, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button, that subscribe button, that bell notification. This is going to push our content out on the algorithms on whatever platform you are watching and listening from. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be back here tomorrow on Friday, August 4th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great program. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.